Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hi, this is Juno Afternoon, a show that in many ways is a random walk across the airwaves. I'm Rhonda McBride, and what I enjoy most is learning about the seemingly random events in life that set people on some kind of a journey of discovery. We have that a lot here on this show. And such is the case with our next guest, Lou Isaac, who is September's featured artist at the Juno Artist Gallery. And she has a First Friday event tonight, which we'll talk about later on in this segment. But Lou, I have to ask, everybody loves a good story, so let's start with how you came to pick up a paintbrush. And that was at a very young age, I understand.
It was at a young age. I was 5 years old, and I was growing up in the Los Angeles area, and we moved into a new subdivision that had hardly anybody in it. There was one, I have two brothers, and I playing with boys didn't really interest me, but there was one other girl in the neighborhood, and she lived in back of me, and she was quite a bit older than I was, so she was being very kind to play with this little girl. So I would go over to her house, and we would, she would sort of direct the activities. And her father was an animator with Disney. And so she grew up drawing. And I would go over there, and she'd get out her paper and pencils and color things, and we would just sit and draw. And I loved it. I decided right then and right there that I was an artist, and I was always going to be an artist. And I've managed to hang on to that fantasy for many, many years and brought great joy to myself.
How interesting. That has to be more than a coincidence, don't you think, when things like that happen in life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some things are meant to be.
Well, you, having started so young, have had a chance to master different kinds of art. And maybe let's start with one type of art that you do, which is drawing nudes from live models. And I guess there's a term for that, but maybe you could explain how you got started with that.
Okay, so that's life drawing, and that is a typical way to learn how to draw in a traditional art education, which is called an academic education. It's called academic because it used to be done in academies where master artists would take on apprentices, and they would learn to do their art form by watching and participating with the artist. And the universities in the 70s, when I was going to university, were still mimicking this academic art education. And so all the art students took life drawing, which is what it's called. And I was probably maybe 18 when I started doing life drawing. It's shocking the first time you walk into a class and someone comes in and takes their clothes off and they sit down in front of you and you need to draw them. However, I loved it and I still love it. And it's an important thing to me. I think if you can learn to respond to and draw another human being, you can learn to draw anything.
So what is it about drawing the human form? Because it is very complicated. You've got muscles that are defined, and you almost have to like see underneath the skin to be able to portray the human body.
Well, that's true. You need to know a lot about anatomy, but you also are looking at them from a unique point of view. And so you don't see necessarily all the anatomy, but you see how it foreshortens from your point of view. So in addition to the anatomy, there are all kinds of other things about understanding space and trying to take three-dimensional space and indicate it on a flat surface.
So you do so many other kinds of art. You know, I've seen, and we have a couple examples of your work on our website on the Juno Afternoon page on ktoo.com. You can go there, and you've got a painting of an elephant swimming underwater. You've got kind of a patch of bog with some wildflowers in it. And then, of course, we have one of your sketches, your life art sketches. So did one inform the other? Did the sketching of the human form somehow help you with other forms of art?
Absolutely. Because we have such bonds to other human beings that when you're trying to figure out how to indicate a solid object in space on a flat surface, and it happens to be the thing that's most important to you in the world, which is the other members of your species, you start paying attention to things and learn many different ways of resolving those same kinds of issues. And so the way you would resolve it with a pencil on a piece of paper, and the way you resolve it in clay, and the way you resolve it in paint on a flat surface are all different. But those kinds of things sort of become second nature when you do them over and over again, just like anything that you learn, by repeating that and trying it in a different way and trying it in a different material. All those things collate in your brain, and you understand the three-dimensional and the two-dimensional, and they inform each other. And it's a pretty exciting process.
A lot of people are intimidated. You know, I am kind of, when I go to the Juno Artist Gallery and I see so many samples of fine work locally, and I think, oh, boy, I'll never be able to do that. But I once knew an art teacher who said, really, all there is to art are two things, a straight line and a curved line. And that's all you need to know, and you can go from there. Is it really that easy?
I don't know. That's probably not what I would have said when somebody asked me. However, I do think that overcoming the inhibition and the feeling that you can't possibly do it is the one thing that's absolutely necessary. Just anybody can learn to express themselves in color and in form and in lines if they will jump in and do it. Monkeys learn to do this. Giraffes learn to do this. Sometimes it's intimidating, but the trick is to jump in it. And really, you know, some of the best artists are children who don't know that they can't do it. You know, so I think we adults sometimes think we teach ourselves that we can't do something because someone else does it better or faster or something else. But having the guts to just jump in and do it is what it really takes.
And really, that's kind of the secret to art, isn't it? Guts. Well, tonight, sure, you are going to be at the Juno Artist Gallery starting at 4:30 to talk to people about your art. And I understand that one of the things that you wanted to do was talk with people who might be interested in a sketch class for the human form with live nude models. Is that something that you think there would be a lot of interest in Juno for this kind of class?
I know that there is a significant interest in Juno for this class. I did it for a while pre-COVID. I was doing it in a studio that I had, and we would welcome between 3 and 15 people every time I had it. So something like that has to fit into your life. But there's a demand for it. I have a list of people who are interested. And that's another thing that I would like to do this evening for anyone who feels like coming in, is to get them on that list so that when we can actually start doing that, when the health restrictions are such that we can all be in a room together, breathing on each other while we're doing this, I would love to have a list of people who want to do it. It's a great joy to me, and it's a great joy to a bunch of other people. And it's really more fun when there are multiple people do it, because you get to see each other's work, and everybody does it a little bit differently. And some people are new to it, and some people really know a lot about it and can give suggestions. And it's a community effort to all participate in something that is really fun to do.
So what have you chosen to display on your dedicated Artist of the Month wall? What kind of work will we see if we come by tonight?
So I am, what I have put up are recent works that I'm working on. And when you work in oils, it takes really long time for the oil to be finished, because you sort of work in layers and one has to dry before you can do the other one. And then you put something on and then you scrape it off. And it's a long process. But I wanted to show, because I have a display there of things that I sell already, I wanted to just show people what I was working on. And a lot of it is responding to the gorgeous summer that we had. There's a lot of fireweed in my paintings and a lot of the fun stuff that go on in the summer. So I just sort of put up a little display. I'm not actually trying to sell anything particularly, but the kinds of things that I like to do, sort of recent work, some little small still lives and some landscapes and some plein air and some things that I've done in the studio, and just to show people what fun I have.
I believe it. You sound like you have fun. Starting back when you were 6 years old, learning from your neighbor. I do have to ask you this, though, is are you one of those rare people that can completely make your living off of your art? Because for many artists, it's kind of a day job, something they, you know, escape to at night and any spare moment that they have.
Well, in addition to that, a lot of the people who contact me because they're interested in learning are doing it as a second career. They're retired people, and they haven't, they've needed to support themselves, as I did, and they've always wanted to do art, and fitting it into their life is something that they reach late in life, which is fine. I appreciate the fact that I got to do it, started early in life and doing it. So I haven't supported myself. I've always done fine art, but I haven't supported myself with fine art. However, I had a career doing interior design and residential architecture. So I was still drawing, and I was telling people how to use color, and I was designing furniture. And I was making pictures of all of those things so people could see what they were doing ahead of time. So it was sort of more mechanical and product-oriented, but it was still working with color and working with pencils, and it was also working with people. So I, after I retired from doing that, I had more time to paint, but I still feel like I did really well at doing the thing that I loved and actually making money at a version of it for several years.
So where do you market the bulk of your art?
So all I do, the only display that I have is at the Juno Artist Gallery. I have a lot of stuff. I don't market most of it. Most of it piles up and I give it away, or I try to sell it, or my kids are going to have to deal with it when I die. I don't know. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. And it's just, I'm really not interested in marketing it. That's just that's the hard part. I don't want to be distracted by that. I just want to smear paint around on my canvas. And fortunately, I don't have to sell it. So that's pretty good.
Well, before we go, I wonder if a lot of our listeners are trying to figure out who might be some of your favorite artists that are out there, your inspirations. Do you have some?
I do have some. I love the color that the Impressionists use. I love a Spanish painter named Sorolla. I love beautiful portraits. So the classical academic artists that did beautiful portraits, I love Monet, I love Degas, I love Van Gogh, you know, all color and vibrancy and movement and humans. Those are my favorite subject matters.
And that's what makes your art so human, right? Is all those things that humanity craves: color, beauty, So I'm really excited to hear about your gallery. And of course, people can, your gallery exhibit, people can go all month through September. But before we go, do you want to recap what people need to know if they want to visit with you tonight?
Certainly, I'm going to be. The gallery is in the Senate building on South Franklin Street, and I'm going to be there from 4:30 till 6. Usually we have a big First Friday gathering with lots of food and lots of people come, and it's lots of fun. But then now COVID has restricted those things. So I'll be there briefly this evening. I'll have a sign-up sheet for anyone who's interested in either drawing or painting classes. And I'm also there, as all the other members of the co-op are, from time to time, because we take turns running the shop. So anybody who would like to speak to me can ask whoever is there at the gallery, and they can put them in touch with me at any time.
And in closing, why doesn't Juno have an art school? With so many wonderful artists, you'd think that this would be a natural magnet for artists to come elsewhere, learn, and paint.
I definitely agree with that. And I think that if the new Jack gets built and we are able to keep supporting the arts the way that Juno wants to, I would love to see workshops come in. I know there are many really fine artists in the world who would love to come to Alaska because it's so gorgeous. And if it could be organized so that there were a way for them to come and do workshops, people would come from other places to do it. The artists in Juneau could take advantage of that. And I think that would be a fantastic resource. And it's a natural, there are places in the Southwest that support a great economy doing things like that. And I think it's a natural thing for Juneau to do as well.
Wow, I would love to have a vacation with staying in a beautiful place, overlooking the water, and then by day having art lessons with Lou Isaac. So let's hope that that's something that comes up in the future. Well, I want to thank you very much, Lou, for joining us. And again, your visit at the Juno Artist Gallery begins at 4:30 to 6 o'clock tonight, and that's when people can come and meet you personally. Good luck with your opening tonight.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thanks for having me here today.